Hi, welcome to Cover to Cover. I'm Mark DeWitt. Today we have the expert, actually, she might not say she's an expert, but the book is The Expert's Guide to Life at Home, Samantha Ettis. Samantha, welcome.
Thanks so much.
Are you the expert at life at home?
Well, I'm not actually. I'm the expert in choosing experts to teach us about life at home. So I always say that talent spotting is my only area of expertise. I'm not an expert in any of the 100 subjects in the book. But what's funny is a lot of times I get to a TV show and they ask me to demonstrate one of the myriad of things in this book, and it sometimes can be quite humorous instead of entertaining instead of instructional.
So this is book two, is that correct?
This is book two in a series, yeah. So the first one came out last year. It's called The Expert's Guide to 100 Things Everyone Should Know How to Do. And in that book, I approach 100 leading experts to each write a chapter on their area of expertise. So Donald Trump wrote How to Negotiate, and Larry King wrote How to Listen. Ira Glass wrote How to Tell a Story, and Peggy Post wrote How to Set a Formal Table. But when I went around the country last year, I met so many people who were very vocal about telling me what I missed in book one and what they most wanted to know, whether it was how to fold a fitted sheet or how to decorate a bedroom. And so many of them fell into the home genre that I decided a natural second book would be The Expert's Guide to Life at Home.
But don't look for the same people, except maybe for one in this brand new book.
Exactly. I decided it would be really fun to have one repeat expert, and that repeat expert is Heloise, because who better to include in a home book? So in the first book, she did How to Do Laundry. In this book, she does How to Dust. And then beyond that, though, it runs the gamut. So we have Al Roker doing How to Make a Family Barbecue, Senator Dianne Feinstein doing How to Prevent Identity Theft, and then people like, you know, the man behind the world's largest snowman doing How to Build a Snowman in Your Backyard.
All right. So how did you come to find these experts of different things through life?
Well, you know, I really look for people who not only are experienced and talented, but also that have sort of a spark and charisma that will enable them to deliver the information in a compelling way. Because 600-word, chapters are quite short, and it's almost like the cliff notes of their areas of expertise, which is a huge challenge for many people. You know, if most of us had to write down 600 words on what we know best, it would be really hard to condense it. And so I choose people often that are authors and often that, you know, have this some connection that I think would make sense with the reader.
All right, so you got on the phone, did you email them, write letters?
I cold call most of them. I mean, every single person in the book is the result of a cold call, except for this time, Heloise, who I now know. But the rest of them, it's really just a matter of the hardest thing for me is choosing who to go to, because I take an excruciatingly long time picking the right expert for each chapter. My husband always says, I don't understand why it takes so long. And then one day he watched me work and he was like, I can't even begin to do what you do because I really put so much research into it. And I care so much about who we choose. And I feel like it is an honor for the people in the book to be chosen. And it's also an honor for me to be working with them. I feel, you know, just so lucky to be able to work with the 100 people in the book. But a lot of times I don't take no for an answer. Often I think we all squirm when someone says no. We say, okay, and you know, it's tempting to just hang up and not want to deal with the rejection. But what I've done is I say, well, why are you saying no? And a lot of times they're saying no for reasons that we can circumvent, and then we can turn a no into a yes. So
Jorge Cruz, I'm sure he's energetic, and I'm sure he jumped at the chance to be in this book.
He was actually one of the people that really appreciated the opportunity and right away said yes when I contacted him. And he does a great chapter on how to incorporate fitness into your daily life.
And he's buff. This guy's buff.
He is.
And apparently started out pretty much overweight, I guess, as a kid.
I know, and I think that's why a lot of people identify with him.
All right, now The Expert's Guide to Life at Home, kind of put this book in perspective, if you will. How is it laid out?
Well, what I did was I really felt like, you know, because it's the first book to incorporate three genres, it incorporates not only sort of the how-tos, like how to fix a squeaky floor and how to unclog your toilet, but also sort of home decor things, like how to decorate a bedroom and how to light a room. And then the self-improvement chapters, which are things like how to have a satisfying sex life and how to forgive and how to compromise. And so the way I did it was I sort of laid it out in different sections. The first was to nest. The second to protect, which includes things like, you know, how to secure your home and how to care for your clothing. And then I did how to improve, because so many of us could use that. And then to beautify, to relax, and to enjoy. And, you know, in the enjoy chapters, you know, I had things like how to play chess or how to win at poker. Because I think there's so many things that we do at home that are not necessarily just about making the home beautiful or, you know, drawing a bath or things like that. But there's also a lot of things that are about entertaining ourselves, whether it's how to throw a dinner party or making hot chocolate.
Well, poker's big right now.
Yes, it's so huge.
So if I get this book and read that little section there, I'll be a professional poker player.
Let's hope so. Yeah, I never knew of anyone who became professional after three pages worth, but potentially.
When you receive the manuscripts for each chapter, how much did you have to do on these? I mean, you probably went through and edited these.
It really depends. I mean, some of them, I receive the chapters and they're almost flawless. You know, you could say, okay, that could go straight into the book. And then some of them need a ton of work. And then often I have to go back to these very busy experts and ask them to maybe put more meat on the bones of the chapter or to, you know, I have a couple of technical questions. But typically, I mean, I'm always surprised at the caliber of the writing. And one of the things I love about the book is how each chapter is clearly not written by me. I mean, they have a very distinct voice. So whether it's, you know, Dr. Joy Brown talking about how to compromise, or it's, you know, Barbara Guggenheim talking about how to buy art, they're all very, very different. And I think that's one of the things that makes the book special to me, is that a lot of people mistakenly think that I interviewed them, and instead it's really their words and their voice.
Who were some of the easiest people to work with in this book?
Oh, that's a tough question. I mean, so many of them have been wonderful and really have collaborated in a lot of ways. There's a woman who is the CEO of a tile company, a very high-end tile company called Artistic Tile. And, you know, she's so excited about being a part of the book that she just had a big event with the New York Times and invited me and another expert, Genevieve Gorder from Trading Spaces, to, you know, to sort of appear at the event with her and highlighted the book in her showroom. And so there's countless people like that, which has always amazed me. I mean, I loved – one of the reasons I had Heloise as the repeat expert is because I just love working with her. Last year, she used to leave me messages while I was on my book tour saying, don't forget to eat snacks. You know, she's very, you know, giving helpful hints. That really is how she is. She's not playing a role. And this time, she couldn't make it to my book party, and so she sent me a box of 10 dust cloths instead and said, happy dusting.
There you go. Well, you know, Heloise in this book, she talks about dusting, and you have to be careful because when you're doing this, that you just kind of don't move the dust around, I guess.
There's
a way to do
part.
That, I guess.
Yeah, there is a way to do it. And one of the things she says is that, you know, leaving your windows open is actually contributes to a lot of dust, although there's a slight bit of contradiction because there is a chapter in the book on how to reduce indoor air pollution because the air inside our homes is four times more polluted than the air outside. And the CEO of Seventh Generation, Jeffrey Hollander, writes that chapter, and he says we should keep our windows open for some part of the day. So you have to decide whether it's going to be dust or pollution.
Leaving your doors open, I mean, Heloise says that maybe you should close everything, and somebody else is saying that you need the fresh air in there.
Right.
Dust is, I mean, it comes from outer space in a sense. It comes from flaking skin, hair. You'd think with leaving the windows and doors open, it would kind of refresh the house.
Right, but I think it actually makes dust more prolific. However, I do think that the chapter on reducing indoor air pollution is really compelling. One of the things that apparently is behind his research is that stay-at-home, you know, housewives have a 40% higher rate of cancer than working women. and they believe it's from the toxins in the household cleaning products. And so one of the marketing director for Seventh Generation told me that their biggest marketing challenge is that their products don't smell fresh, people, because we're so used to smelling Clorox or smelling that toxic Windex smell and thinking that's clean. But ironically, because they don't have the toxins in their products and their organic products, they don't have that naturally toxic smell. So it's really funny. It's bizarre.
Heloise uses more organic products, does she, or none?
You know, I'm not sure about that. She you know, writes her books and she has her radio show. She does a lot of sort of like homegrown remedies, I think, you know, where she finds, you know, very organic uses for things. So she might tell us how to remove a stain without actually having to buy a stain remover.
Yeah, there you go. That saves some money there. With doing the Expert's Guide to Life at Home in your very first book, what was one of the most surprising things that you learned that maybe somebody wrote back to you?
Well, what was so funny is that when I did the first book, as I mentioned, I received so many letters and phone calls and emails from people telling me what they most wanted to learn. And I encourage people always on my website to tell me what they most want to learn, right? So I, which is expertsmedia.com. I love to hear from your listeners in terms of if there's topics I've missed. But one of the things that came up most often was how to fold a fitted sheet. And when I was on NPR last year, I mentioned that that was the number one topic that people were disappointed I didn't include in the first book. So I had no idea what I was in for. I received hundreds of letters and phone calls from people around the country telling me that they indeed were fitted sheet folding experts and that they wanted to write the chapter for my next book. So what I ended up doing was going to the country's leading origami expert, who tells us sort of the origami way to do it. But there's diagrams, rest assured, so it makes it a little easier. If I can follow it, anyone can, pretty much.
So when you fold this fitted sheet, does it look like a pterodactyl?
Oh, gosh, you're scaring me now. Now you're intimidating me. When I was on TV in Dallas a couple of weeks ago, the night before, the producer called my marketing director and said, we would love for Samantha to fold a fitted sheet on air. And she was desperately trying to get me out of it, saying this is not going to be a good thing. Because like, although I can do it very painstakingly at home once I follow the instructions, I am not qualified to teach America how to fold a fitted sheet. So,
from an origami expert, that's
right.
kind of funny.
It is really fun. He was the youngest professor ever at MIT.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, if you're just tuning in, this is Cover to Cover. I'm Mark DeWitt. We're talking with the author of The Expert's Guide to Life at Home, Samantha Edis. All right, Samantha, you're a marketing major, I guess. Is that correct? You're a marketing guru.
Maybe we can pretend I'm a guru, but I can't be called a major because I did get my MBA, but there were no majors at Harvard Business School. So,
all right, now what is your full time career, if I may ask?
This
besides
is it
an author,
now. This
really?
Is it. So, I do one expert's guide a year. I just signed on with Random House to do my next two books in the series. So one is coming out in 2006 and one 2007. And I also write a syndicated column for Scripps Howard News Service called Celebrity Assets, where I talk about celebrities' personal brands and sort of how they manage their personal lives and their careers and how that impacts their longevity. But I've sort of expanded that definition of celebrity to also include experts, because that's sort of my passion. So I also talk about, you know, celebrity doctors and chefs and different personalities with talent behind them. But I, you know, my background is pretty varied. When I graduated from college, I was a social anthropology major, which in many ways prepared me for this, because it really is about, you know, understanding cultures and different people. And I have such a variety of people in these books now that it really has been helpful. And then I went to Hollywood and worked for a little while at a talent agency and then at a film studio. And then I moved to San Francisco and worked for 2 years at a company called Ziff Davis Publishing for PC Computing Magazine selling advertising, which I really did not enjoy, but I was good at. And ironically, they had tons of sales training there. And I used to look back saying, why did I ever spend 2 years doing that? And the cold calling skills I need now for these books, I think I really honed when I was there. So you just never know how things end up. But then I worked for 2 years at Nickelodeon on a preschool TV show called Blue's Clues, which is like their highest rated morning program. And I then went back to get my MBA because I felt like I missed out on finance and accounting and all those dreamy subjects that I'd never learned in my as an undergrad liberal arts major. And so I ended up graduating from Harvard Business School and starting my own firm, which was initially sort of like a talent agency for experts. So I represented people in different fields and did their marketing and PR. But it was sort of, you know, a lot of people I wanted to work with, I ended up not working with because so many people who are sort of the next Emeralds or the next Bobby Flays are not people who can necessarily afford to hire a marketing person. So I sort of started doing this book as a hobby last year, and the first book became a national bestseller, and then I got my book deal for the second book and just decided to do this full time because this is what I'm passionate about. So,
all right, so let me get my handy-dandy notebook out here, and I'm going to take some notes.
I'm impressed.
Now, with Nickelodeon, you were doing the marketing there?
No, I was actually working on the production side. So I was working in both development, sort of script development, and also running their entire production schedule from start to finish, so from scripting through animation. And each episode, because it's live action and animation, takes 10 months to produce.
Do they pretty much do that behind a, or in behind a blue screen, I guess?
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Exactly.
So what qualifies somebody to be an expert in their field?
Well, it's so subjective. I mean, you know, for example, in choosing the man behind the world's largest snowman, that was obviously easy. Guinness Book of World Records anointed him, you know, having made the tallest snowman in the world. So that was sort of a simple one. But then there's people like Oprah's personal chef who writes a chapter on how to carve a turkey. And so he obviously, you know, there's plenty of chefs that could have written that chapter. But I thought I liked the idea that he works in a home every day. He's not someone who's just working on TV as a chef or writing cookbooks. So he really is someone who's like in the kitchen. And so he did a great job with that chapter. And one of my favorite things about the chapter is that he says, if you're sort of a novice like I am, don't do it in front of your guests. Do it, you know, carve your turkey in the kitchen so you don't embarrass yourself. And he also has like another tidbit that I love, which is always cut dark meat first because it stays moist longer. And those are the kinds of nuggets I love finding in the book because each chapter has a couple of them. But in terms of the other experts, like there's this guy I found named Al Corby. I mean, oftentimes the least sort of sexy names, like everyone wants to talk about Al Roker or Lisa Gibbons or Rachel Ray, but a lot of times the least sexy names are the ones that I find most fascinating. So there's a guy named Al Corby who he actually also did Oprah's home security, but he was the man behind the movie The Panic Room. He was the consultant on that film, and he developed the concept of a panic room. And his chapter is about how to secure your home, which is so important to so many of us. And one of the things he says is that all of his tips are about how you can secure your home without relying on the police, because a lot of people in America rely on alarm systems. And the bottom line is, as he explains, alarm systems alert the police to get there, let's say, in 15 minutes. But within that first 15 minutes, that's when the crime typically already occurs. So what are you going to do in the first 15 minutes to protect yourself? And that's the perspective from which he writes his chapter, which I just think is fantastic. And then, for example, there's a guy who did how to make hot chocolate. And he owns City Bakery in New York and Los Angeles. And he also started the first ever hot chocolate festival. And he's truly passionate about hot chocolate. And he believes there's a distinct difference between, you know, the powdered stuff and the real stuff. And so he's, you know, his passion comes through in his chapter. And I think that's what marries each of these experts, even though they might be so different from one another, is they are so passionate about their areas of expertise.
Well, probably with this chocolate, this cocoa maker, it's probably more organic than probably the powdered kind with so many other things in it that you can't even pronounce.
Right. I mean, his recipe or technique involves using real chocolate. And when I first called him, he said no, he couldn't be in it because he didn't want to give away his secrets. And so I persuaded him to share his technique instead of his ratios and said that our readers could, you know, sort of play with it and that would be part of the fun. So
you have a lady on here from the Food Network, De Laurentiis.
Giada De Laurentiis.
And her grandfather, I guess, very well known in Hollywood also.
Yes. That's funny that you should mention that. You're the first person that's picked up on that. But yes, she is. She wrote a great chapter on how to make spaghetti and meatballs, and she's just fantastic. Her first book was just came out this year and was a bestseller, and she's doing great. She's on the Food Network. A lot of people love her.
And
she's really sweet.
You have other cooks in here. I mean, there's a section, I guess, on cooking.
Well, there's Daniel Ballou, who does a chapter. You know, he's a famed chef from New York, and he does a chapter on how to sharpen knives. And then there's people like Al Roker, who just happens to have a passion for barbecue. And in addition to being a Today Show host, he's also hosted his own show on the Food Network about barbecue. And he's written his book called The Big Bad Book of Barbecue. And he takes it very seriously. For him, it's a five-hour process to make a real barbecue. He says there's a huge difference between grilling and barbecuing, which most of us grill, I think, and don't do the real thing. And then there's also people like Rachel Ray, who I had initially contacted to do a chapter on how to prepare a picnic. Thought she'd be really fun for that, given her sort of 30-minute meal trademark. And she said, well, I never picnic, but I do tailgate every weekend because I'm a huge sports fan. So I said, okay. So she did this great chapter on tailgating, and she includes three recipes that definitely can be used for picnicking as well.
Well, she's got to be a lot of fun. She looks like she's fun.
She's so much fun. She called me and she said, you know, I don't have time to write this chapter. Can I dictate it to you? And I really am sort of fervent about the fact that everyone has to write their own chapter. And she's like, I promise it will be my words. It's just that I speak a lot faster than I write. So I've never typed so fast in my life. So I typed out her words. And it really, I mean, I sent it back to her and she said, this is exactly what I would have written. So it really is her voice that comes through. She says that you should always go to a sporting event with a food strategy in mind.
There you go. Well, this book, The Expert's Guide to Life at Home, how should a person go about reading this? There's just so many, things in here, I guess, to look at, things to do, things to learn.
You know, it's funny you should ask that, because I am really reading it for the first time for fun right now, because obviously I've pored over it, you know, 20,000 times in terms of editing it and reading every chapter over and over. But the one thing that I'm doing now is my husband and I read two chapters a night, because I can't retain that much information beyond that. It's sort of all I can do to remember some of the things from each chapter. And so that's, I think, a lot of people tell me that that's how they enjoy the book, is really to pick it up, read a chapter or two, and then put it down. And that's one of the fun things about it, is that it's sort of, even though it's a reference book, it's really a coffee table book. Because they also, you know, it was made by Clarkson Potter, a division of Random House that makes gorgeous books. And so they made it so that it's really like a beautiful little gem. I can't take credit for that. That's their design. And so it's the kind of book where people just, you know, come to your house while you're cooking dinner, and they'll just pick it up and read a chapter and put it down again. And it works that way, which is fun.
So how about your husband? I mean, here you have all the experts. You've been reading everybody's manuscript. Does he think that you're the better person? Do you do a better job around the house now?
Oh, I would like to think I do, but I probably don't. I mean, he thinks it's funny, because all of the sort of knowledge gaps in my own knowledge, I fill with the books, you know. So, for example, I'm pregnant with our first child due in January, and so the next book is The Expert's Guide to the Baby Years. And so it's a little bit self-indulgent, because every night I'm now putting that book together, and I come home and I'll say, oh no, we need to know this, and I'll read the chapter to him. So it's like we have 100 experts, you know, on our shoulders. Or something.
Well, that's I'm sure there's going to be a lot of need for that. I mean, shoot, the young people around nowadays, like you, pregnant, I mean, they have to baby-proof the home, I guess, and there's
a
lot of
information. Yeah, that's one of the chapters.
There you go. All right, now you mentioned a website, Samantha.
Yes, it's expertsmedia.com, expertsplural media.com. And one of the things I've done on the site is I have a searchable database by expert's last name and by topic, because I'm trying to create sort of a community of experts. So you'll see now a lot of the experts on their website have sort of our seal saying that they were selected as an expert in the expert's guides. And one of the things I love is getting the experts together in different ways. So for example, at our book party this year, we invited all the 100 experts in the first book and the second book. And so in the corner, you'd see the person who did How to Make a Doggy Door, you know, talking to the person who wrote a chapter on how to renovate your bathroom. It was really, really fun. So it was sort of like, instead of a book party for me, it was a book party for, you know, 45 of the authors who showed up.
There you go. Well, The Expert's Guide to Life at Home, a lot of names that I recognized in here, a lot of names that you're going to recognize, some that you don't, but I tell you what, you're going to learn so much from this brand new book by Samantha Ettis, The Expert's Guide to Life at Home. Samantha, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much for having me.
You've been listening to Cover to Cover. I've been your host, Mark DeWitt, along with the expert, I think anyway, Samantha Ettis, and her brand new book, The Expert's Guide to Life at Home. Questions and concerns may be addressed to 2045 Gilbert Avenue, Cincinnati, Ohio, 45202.